Welcome to episode 302. It's a nice sunshiny day here on an early Friday morning. And we do this on Friday because all the new music comes out on Friday. So we'll play some new songs in a second. Also, Kylie Morgan, she came over to the studio. We talked about moving from a small town in Oklahoma to be an artist here in Nashville, getting proposed to during a show, releasing her debut project. So hang out a few minutes. But let's go. New music day. Number 5, Blanco Brown has a new song called Nobody's More Country. I've been back and forth from here to Georgia, Carolina to California, across the hills of middle Tennessee. I've been mountain high in Colorado, seen some things, but one thing I know, no one loves the country more than me. That's pretty good.
It's fun.
This is all... You know, the new releases that I'm most excited about today. At number 4, Lauren Elena released a new song called If the World Was a Small Town.
If the world was a small town, I would have settled for the way we would have settled down. Boy, if I didn't feel so stuck, I would have stuck around. Would have all been different, baby. Maybe we would have made it before.
At number 3, Brandon Ray has a new song out called Family Album.
And before you know it, we'll be running out of pages, 40 years and counting. So what do you say, baby, let's make a family album.
At number 2, pretty cool collaboration here. Shy Carter, Cole Swindell, and David Lee Murphy released a song called Beer With My Friends.
But I feel bad.
And the number 1 song this week, and Chris Lane talked about this on a Bobbycast about 2 episodes, how he wrote a song for a son who wasn't born yet. Well, dun, 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 now he's born. It's called Ain't Even Met You Yet. Here you go. I would encourage you guys to go back a couple episodes and listen to that with Chris. It was right before he had his baby. I mean, like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it was like any day it could come, and any day it did. So those are the top 5 releases that I'm most excited about this week. Let's go to some news. John Party is on vocal rest. That means absolutely no talking and no singing. The rest of his shows this month will be rescheduled. John talks a lot, which is going to be very difficult for him. But I do know he is being extremely vigilant about not talking. The thing, I mean, imagine this. You're not able to work for a year and a half because of COVID. And it's like, okay, let's go. Time to go back to work. And everybody's super excited. And it turns out you can't because something's up with your throat. That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, there are a lot of things that suck. That's one of them. So he has to go on vocal rest. Hopefully, the time they gave him will be the time it takes to get normal and it's not an extension. I don't think it will be. I hope it's not going to be. But I've just seen, you know, Jimmy Westbrook from Little Big Town. You know, he when they were out for a bit. Keith Urban for a while. Most vocalists at some point have to do this, especially if they weren't trained how to be a vocalist. Like John, I don't know if he ever went to training. He just started singing. He was good at it and got better at it. So I don't know that he uses his voice in a way that someone who's a trained singer does. But he also sings like someone who's not a trained singer, you know? So anyway, I hope he gets better.
How is he communicating? Does he have like a dry erase board, do you know?
Hand signals, writing, yes. Just like anyone, like you would if you didn't, if you weren't able to talk anymore. Kurt Cobain's doodle self-portrait sells for $281,000. A collector just shelled out more than $281,000 for a piece of Kurt Cobain's history, a self-portrait caricature called Kurt Cobain Rockstar, but the C in Cobain is K in Cobain, was auctioned off and sold. He signed the drawing on the left side, and on the right side of the picture he wrote, "I don't know how to play, and I don't give a hoot." Pretty cool. It's expensive.
Very expensive.
I bet you, though, that ends up being worth a lot more than that.
Yeah, for sure.
In 5-10 years, I could see that being one of those things where it's like, dang, they got to deal at $281,000. Janna Kramer has sold her wedding ring to pay for home renovations. What, have you seen her husband at all on Instagram?
I haven't seen him anywhere, no.
Me either.
Nothing.
Well, not her ex yet, but the person she's...
Soon to be ex.
Yeah, she sold that ring to make house renovations. Brooks and Dunn announced their reboot tour. Be a pretty good show. Travis Tritt will open, and so will LV Shane. That tour starts September 2nd in Indianapolis, Indiana, and goes until September 23rd in Dallas, Texas. They can still play and sing, man. I saw them in Vegas right before pandemic. And right before that, Ronnie and Kix came and played with us, the Raging Idiots, at our Ryman show. Man, they can still play. I mean, Ronnie came to rehearsal with the band and just sang to make sure that, you know, I don't know if we could keep up or he could keep up. One of the two, probably, if we could keep up.
And man, wasn't he sick the day of the Ryman show?
A little bit, yeah.
But he sounded amazing.
Sounded great. Lineup for the 2021 iHeartRadio Music Festival has been announced. Billie Eilish, Cheap Trick, Coldplay, Dua Lipa, Florida Georgia Line, Journey, Khalid, Lil Baby, Maroon 5, Nelly, Sam Hunt, and Weezer. You know, the daytime stage, I was a little shocked to see Olivia Rodrigo over there.
I thought the same thing. It's going to be so packed and crazy for that.
And usually, if someone big does the daytime stage, they'll also put them on the big stage.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she's not on the... Maybe she'll make an appearance, but...
I feel like she has to.
She's as big as you can get right now. Like, she's bigger. She'll draw more of a crowd than Nelly, Khalid. And these are real people.
Yeah.
But right now, she's as hot as it gets as far as in the pop world. Olivia Rodrigo, Saweetie, all-time low. Boy, they're still going, huh? All-time low?
Yeah. They kind of got like a revamp in their career.
Wow. 24K Golden, Russell Dickerson, Gabby Barrett, Tate McRae, Conan Gray, and Addison Rae. I mean, Addison Rae's a big one too.
Yeah.
But her music career has just started. She's a big, you know, social media.
TikTok.
Yeah, TikToker. Garth Brooks announces Nashville Stadium show. That'll be July 31st. It will be Garth's first time playing that stadium. Tickets go on sale June 25th. They'll sell out in a second.
2 seconds.
Yeah. Brett Eldridge has announced the dates of his Good Day tour. This kicks off September 16th in Cleveland, Ohio. Runs into early November. Morgan Evans is the opener. You want the dates, go to BrettEldridge.com. And Lauren Alanna is going to be in a movie called Roadhouse Romance on the Hallmark Channel. It debuts September 11th. So that's what's up in music. Appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. And I hope you like this interview with Kylie Morgan. Enjoy. All right, in studio with Kylie Morgan, which I think the first time that I knew of you is Walker Hayes had posted maybe you performing at something. And Walker and I are buds. And he was like, hey, I hit her up. I was like, hey, is she any good? He was like, yeah, she's good. And you had a song out called Cuss a Little, right?
Yeah,
Is all this right?
Oh, this is very correct, yes.
What do you remember? Because, and here's why you're here, is I saw you had put out your EP, and I'd been looking for a reason. I'd been playing your song on the Women of iHeart Country a little bit, different stuff. And so when you put the record out, I was like, let's get her in. It feels like I know you, but I don't really know you yet. So what do you remember? Because it's been a couple years, I think.
It has. So it's so funny. I remember getting a call from... my grandfather's wife, and she was like, oh my gosh, Kylie, Bobby Bones is playing your song, and I'm freaking out. I'm in the car. You don't know this, but I've been writing Bobby Bones for months, telling him about you. And I was like, yeah, it's all because of you. That's exactly what happened. I love that.
So you're say that again. Who was it?
So it's my grandfather's wife.
And she's been writing me for
months.
She's been
writing you for months, telling
like
you
letters,
about me.
Instagram.
I guess letters. Huh. I have no idea. But I think it was maybe her manifestation mixed with Walker and I's relationship all aligning finally. So
let's just go with her manifestation because
yes.
I like that story. And so, yeah. And then that was kind of how I knew. Because again, we played Cuss a Little in the Women of Iron Country, right?
Yes.
Wait, how long ago was that?
Well, what's funny is when you first played it, it was just a demo of me and my acoustic guitar that I put right before I went out on tour with Walker. So we needed like something that... prove that I existed online. So I just put like me and my guitar, just like a few original songs, and then you played that one on the air. And then I finally signed my deal with Universal, and flash forward 3 years later, then the actual track finally comes out, and I'm like, finally, I can actually show people that it exists.
I didn't know that wasn't the like full, you know, mature song.
Mm-hmm,
I didn't
yeah.
know that was just you and a guitar.
Just me and a guitar.
Mike, do we have a little bit of that?
Yeah.
Here you go.
I drink too much, but my body is a temple. I
And that's not on the new record, and we'll get to the new record in a second. But you did you write that with Walker too, or did you?
Yeah. So what's crazy, Walker and I wrote that when I was 19. I'm 25 now. And that's what's so cool about it is the fact that I wrote it with him so many years ago and people are just hearing it for the first time within the past year. And so it's been like one of those things. I've been playing it in my live show for years and everyone's like, when is that song coming out? I'm finally like, one day. And I'm like, that day's here, finally.
You didn't put on the new record though, am I right?
Right. So with putting a single out with it, we already had a song called Break Things out and then my last single, Shoulda, out. And so I wanted to make sure that there was room for new music and room for new songs. And so with the singles already out, I'm like, well, that already has its own life out there. And now I want to introduce people to some new music. So
I agree.
Yeah.
You had more space to put more songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's Shoulda. It'll be featured on the Women of iHeartCountry on the weekend of June 26th.
Yay.
Which I've already scheduled that to go down. You want to play some of that?
Yeah.
Here you go. Shoulda locked down, shoulda lay low, shoulda part two for what alone. I know it now, but it's too late. Shoulda hung up before your name. Oh, I knew better than you ever think that you could change. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, I ain't never been the good at staying home when I know that I shoulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, I ain't never been the good at saying no when I know that I shoulda. So I see that you wrote that with Shane McAnally and also Ben Johnson. How do you get a write with Shane? Is it because you write it smack and you kind of first in line?
So the story of Shane and I is pretty amazing and I'll condense it a little bit. But long story short, I moved to Nashville with my very first publishing deal, more of a smaller company at 19. And so since I moved here with a deal already, I never met with any publishers or anything like that. And so after I was kind of ready to kind of move on from that, I was wanting to meet with publishers. And before I could even do that, I got a call from Robin Palmer, which is a huge part of Shane's story as well, how he got his first cut with Kenny Chesney. And I'll never forget this voicemail. And it was saying like, hi, this is Robin Palmer from Smack. So I've never heard of you before and I want to, so call me back. And so I met with her and Lee Crable, which is another song plugger at Smack. And I just fell in love with the family and of the whole idea of Smack. And so I met Shane actually at the Bluebird Cafe when he came to see me perform. And it was like one of the very first times playing the Bluebird. And so it was a very surreal moment. He like sat down and he was like, I'm Shane. And I'm like, I'm very aware. I know who you are. And so once that happened, he kind of just adopted me and we became very close friends and co-writers. And now he's my producer as well.
So he's doing it all.
All of it.
Well, which is common for Shane to do it all.
Very much so.
What is your story about getting to Nashville? You grew up in Oklahoma the whole time. Age zero to when? And when did you move out here?
So zero to 19. I started going back and forth to Nashville at 15. Long story short, I got my very first little pink guitar when I was 12 years old from my grandfather. And I just fell in love with it. I started writing songs on it and I just knew that's what I was supposed to do. So I told my mom at 12 that I was skipping college and I was moving to Nashville to be a country music artist.
Who taught you how to play chords at 12?
So I looked up originally online, kind of self-taught, and then I actually had a guitar teacher try and teach me theory, and I was like, absolutely not. I just want to learn how to play Stay by Sugarland. And so I found this guy to teach me just the chords to the country songs I've been listening to, and that's when I was like, oh, I can not only write my own songs, but I can play other people's songs, and then I just knew that that's what I was supposed to do.
So you're learning on that pink guitar. At 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, are you playing anywhere, like in school or around school to get better?
So I really just like dove in and started touring everywhere. At 15, when I started coming to Nashville for the first time, I ended up getting in rooms that I should not have been in, but thank God I have this guy who pretty much just took me under his wing. His name's Russ Davidson, and he's such a huge part of my story. And he put me in a room with Walker Hayes at 15, which what? Like, I couldn't believe that. And so I got to write with such heavy hitters at such a young age and learned so quickly. And so I started touring heavily, going back and forth to Nashville, ended up stopping public school and switching to online school. So that way I could just do it all the time and not have to worry about it. And then graduated early, immediately wanted to get all my ducks in a row, saved all the money I had and bought a house in Hermitage, Tennessee and came out here at 19 and haven't looked back since.
So when you move out here at 19, what is that like? I mean, you don't have any friends here yet, or did you have a few that you had made through coming back and forth?
Thankfully, I made quite a few friends going back and forth, but I also, my grandfather's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I had family kind of near. And so I definitely had like a system where like I felt like someone, I could call someone if something happened. But thankfully with Russ and his wife Denise and them introducing me to so many people, I feel like I immediately had family out here.
Did you have roommates at 19 at the house or by yourself?
I did. I still have a roommate, thank God, because she watches my dogs, and I need someone for that specifically.
Were your roommates then in music?
No. So originally, my first roommate was, I went to high school with her. And then I actually got her a job at the publishing company that I was at the time. And then she kind of moved on, ended up moving back to Oklahoma. And then I got a new roommate. And since then, we have not had anyone in the music industry, and we like to keep it that way.
Well, if you want someone to watch your dogs, it needs to be someone not in the music industry, because that means they're staying in town.
Yeah, it's classification.
That's our situation, too. So what's your town in Oklahoma like?
It is very small.
What's it called?
Newcastle. So it's like one of those where if I would have stayed and graduated with the people in my high school, I would have graduated with probably 50 people.
Yeah, same.
Everyone knows everybody. Everyone knows everyone's business. And I think that's why when I came to Nashville for the first time, I was always just in a different headspace than everyone in my hometown. And so when I came out here for the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, everyone is just as weird as I am. This is awesome. And so I felt immediately at home.
What about you wanted to do music? Why? What was it about it that you're like, okay, I'm a kid? Because me, I was 5, I knew what I wanted to do, but nobody else did.
Same.
And it was weird to me that people didn't know what they wanted to do.
Same.
So I grew up going, how do you not? Like, I knew I wanted to be on the radio, on TV, and be a comedian. Never didn't know. But what about it? Like, when did it hit you? Was it that first guitar? Was it watching someone on TV where you said, dang, I have to do this and nothing else is acceptable?
So I stayed a lot at my grandma's house when my mom and dad would run errands, would work. And so I actually fell in love with all of my mom's old Shirley Temple VHS tapes.
Mm.
So I watched her every single song she did. I memorized every single dance move I memorized. I would run to my dress-up drawer.
Black and white.
Something.
Oh, like, yeah. That's old, old school.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, well, she's 3-4 years old. If she's doing it, why can't I do it? And so that's when the first thought in my head that I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. And there was just no other option for me. It's just the same as you.
Were you a loud kid? Were you, someone that wanted attention?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes, I was very
siblings?
Much. Yes, I have okay. a little sister and an older sister. But I was a very much like putting on shows in the living room, watch me kind of kid.
At what point in your life did you realize you actually had the talent to sing?
So I will be honest. I remember my mom being like, well, maybe she'll get better, like around the 10 or 11. And then it really clicked when I started learning guitar, because like the whole like just like chords to pitch to melodies to lyrics. That's when it all kind of came together and the stars aligned. And then my mom was like, oh, maybe she could actually do this.
And what did your mom say when you wanted to start going back and forth to Nashville as a teenager?
Thank God my mom became a fast momager very quickly. She toured with me up until I was 19 years old and was very happy to pass over the management duties to Smack as well. And so she was really just like by my side the whole time and knew how serious I was about it and saw how I was doing it, because she was right there. And so that's when she thankfully made that her full-time job, which was me. And that's the reason I honestly am here today, because of her.
I'm going to play track 2, I Only Date Cowboys.
Yeah.
I did see on your Instagram that you just got engaged, too.
Yes,
like
I did.
In the last week, right?
Yeah, last week, actually. And it's with a guy named Jay Allen. And we actually wrote
that
song together.
He wrote that song. Yeah, he's on this.
Yeah, we wrote that song together. And it was funny enough, I was in Oklahoma City this weekend playing with the OKC Philharmonic and heard that song on the radio for the first time when he played it for the I Heart Women of Country. So I was getting my hair done and I was just like listening and like bouncing up and down in my chair.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very exciting.
That is cool. So you wrote this song with him. Were you together with him when you wrote the song?
Yeah, so we've been actually together for 6 years.
Oh, since you moved here and got a house.
Literally moved at 19, little baby, and he and I met, and it was like no looking back. It was just like two thieves in the night, and he pretty much, thank God he was here, because he just showed me Nashville. He showed me the music industry, showed me how to do it. And so he has been by my side throughout, and we've actually been able to rise up together, both as rising artists, and it's been the most amazing thing because he just gets it.
Is he an artist too?
Yes.
And is he a country artist?
Country artist, yes.
And so what's his deal?
So he is signed with Verge Records and is actually about to put his debut EP out this fall. So we're kind of like neck and neck and releasing things, and it always ends up this way, even though we have different managements, different labels, and it's been fun to be able to rise up separately, but also be together.
And how did he propose?
So I started going to Whiskey Jam when I first moved to Nashville, and of course just wanted to meet people, wanted to see the live music, wanted to meet everybody. And so I would call him all the time to meet me out in Midtown, and we would go to Whiskey Jam together. And so it was a pretty full circle moment. He played Whiskey Jam last week and then brought me up on stage. We sang a song that we wrote together, and then he sang a song that he wrote for me that'll be on his debut EP, and then got down on one knee and asked on the Whiskey Jam stage.
And did you know it was coming?
I had a feeling because my mom was really persistent about me getting my nails done. And I was like, Mom, I really don't care to get my nails done. What's the sitch?
That is a tip.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's a tough one. But I think it's a fine line to walk, because I just had to do this with, we've been engaged now for like 8 or 9 months or so, and we're getting married in the next few months. But I had to make sure her nails were done, but also didn't want her to know that she was getting her nails done for a reason.
Yep. So how did you propose?
So we have a barn. Like, you drove in the front here. Back behind the basketball court back there, there's a barn. And we had been working on just kind of rebuilding it because it's an extremely old barn. It once was used for horses on this property, but we don't have any horses here.
Right.
And so we had been kind of going, hey, if we ever are going to kind of rebuild this thing, what would we do? And so I'd hired someone to come out and do some work to look at it and to kind of show us some plans of what we would do. And I'm extremely colorblind. And
really?
So, yeah. I just can't see at all. My right eye doesn't work. I'm colorblind. It's a whole deal.
No.
And so it was, we're looking at paint to paint. And I purposely set all this up, like this part of it, weeks ahead. Yes. And I was so nervous that she was going to find out. But I said, hey, we have to go match this paint. I told her we had dinner with two of our friends.
Okay.
And at a nice place. So I knew she would be nicely dressed.
That was a good tip. Yep.
And so, but we had been off shooting my TV show. And we flew in, and no one could be working on it until we got in the house. They had like 30 minutes where they could rush in to the barn, set everything up that I had planned set up.
Oh my God.
I had a friend that helped me as well.
This is giving me anxiety.
So once they're done, I got a text that's like, the text was like, hey, the show is going to be good on Tuesday. Some real, you know, odd thing that she could never figure out what it was in case she saw my phone.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, cool. And so we walked back to the back.
The show's going to be good on Tuesday.
And I was like, I said, I got her back there because I was like, I can't tell this paint color. I can't tell if it's the right one, but I don't even know if it's red or dark blue. And I was like, just come with me real quick. She was annoyed a little bit because she's in heels. She's walking through the backyard. And she's like, can we not do this tomorrow? I'm in like nice shoes. And I'm like, just come back to the back. And we open it, and the whole barn had been rebuilt with lights and flowers and trees.
All the things.
You know, hippos, the whole thing. And so she's shocked. She's out of her mind shocked. I propose, and then I say, hey, come with me. And so we walk, and there's this hill. We have a pool right here, and there's a hill that goes down. We walk up the hill, and she hears, like, our song. And so I don't know if you know Matt Carney as the artist, but yeah. Matt Carney has a song called Nothing Left to Lose. It was a massive hit 10 years ago. But we went to one of his shows when we first started dating, and she said when he was playing that song, she was like, oh, that's when I knew that I loved you. And so so his song was playing, and she was like, oh. But we walked up the hill, and it wasn't a song playing. I had him come and play.
Oh, my gosh. When you have connects, that's the best time to use them.
And so he was playing on this little stage on top, and then we danced. And then it was all good. It was
You're
good.
Like, top that, everybody.
It was good. It's on my Instagram. It was definitely good.
Oh, how amazing.
The best part was she never found out.
That's so incredible. That makes it 20 times better, too.
It was the best.
Yeah.
But back to the nails thing, I had a friend that had 2 weeks prior had said, hey, she needed to get her nails done. She was going to somebody new, and she was nervous about it. And so she wanted Caitlin to go with her. And so I even had that set up.
Wow.
But luckily that she never found out. And it worked, and thank God she said yes.
Nailed it, no pun intended.
And then nailed it. And but you hadn't seen the ring.
No, so that was a huge surprise to me. I didn't know how he was going to do it, when he was going to do it. I kind of like realized, I'm like, oh, my whole family's here for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
So
I mean, every sign was pointing toward
this. Like, and he got my dad away from his collision repair body shop. So I was like, there has to be something happening. Well, what he like kind of set it up as was he was like, oh, I'm releasing my record this week. and we're doing a big release party, and I want your dad there, and I want your mom there. So
that worked.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then we were FaceTiming my best friend, and we had been drinking a little bit. This was like 2 weeks prior, and I was like, Lauren, you should come because we're doing 3 shows that week. My family's gonna be here, and Jay was like, yeah, I'm planning something really special. And I was like, oh no. And then Lauren was like, oh no. And so I didn't know how it was happening, what the ring looked like, any details, but I kind of had a little bit of an idea.
So would you have rather went and picked the ring out yourself or be surprised with the ring and really not had a choice?
I am so strategic on every single part of my life, and there's very few things that I wouldn't want to choose or that I'm indecisive about. One is nail color. I will sit in front of nail like colors for 45 minutes and I will choose it like 5 different times. And I feel like it would have been the same thing with the ring. And he has such good taste, actually. And so I actually was so happy that he just did it and I didn't have to worry about it. And it's beautiful and I love it. It's perfect. So very
so
happy.
Let me see. Dang. What's that cut called?
So he keeps saying over and over, he was like, this was the Kylie diamond. It was perfect. It was exactly what I envisioned for you. And it's a pair cut. So it's like, yes.
I knew nothing about cut. I knew nothing about anything until I went in and had to pick out a ring.
Oh, yeah. It's a thing. I didn't know anything about anything either. I've just seen a few photos on Pinterest and I was like, that's cute.
Any idea about, you know, roundabout when you guys want to get married?
So we know we want to get married in Fort Myers Beach because we went there for the Songwriters Festival not too long ago. Probably, I guess it was too long ago. It was like 4 years ago. Fell in love with the people, fell in love with just the island, the beach. And so every time we go back there, we now have like pretty much family there. They call us the country kids. We come there for Easter every year. So I'm such a beach person. And so I know I want to do it there, but we have no idea on anything other than that.
You like the beach, huh?
I love the beach.
I just can't get into it.
Oh, are we having our first fight?
Maybe. I just don't. And I'm sure for our honeymoon, we're going to go to a beach or something. She loves the beach.
Are you a mountain person?
Nah.
Are you a studio person?
Yeah. I just, for me, the beach is a lot of sitting in the sun on the sand.
Oh, see, I'm like, huh.
I think I'm maybe more of a lake person. And I would credit that, but then you're the same. I would credit that to growing up in Arkansas. We had no ocean.
Yeah.
But you didn't either.
See, I think it was like the opposite for me. Since we didn't have an ocean, I grew up on a lake. And I was like, this is great. But the first time I went to LA and saw the ocean, I was like, oh, this is like the definition of God on earth. And I just loved it so much. So
I feel like you can't go and you can't really wakeboard or wake skate on the ocean. The waves are too big. All these little snot-nosed kids running around. Mike, do you like
maybe
the beach?
You just haven't been to the
like
right
the beach.
I don't think there is a right beach. I've been to some cool beaches.
Mike, take him to the right beach. Okay.
I just always get out there and I'm like, well, now what? And then you can't really look at your phone because the sun's blaring down.
You're supposed to enjoy
that's
the water.
That's good.
Enjoy the water. What do you mean?
Put your feet in it. Go.
I do. And it's fun for
take
like
your head in it.
It's fun for like a second. I'd rather take a bath than go to the beach. When it comes to water, I just have, maybe I haven't found, but Caitlin loves the beach. I'm sure that's what we're going
to
do.
So where is she like loving to go on vacation? Like where is she, like if she could pick a certain beach?
Funny you ask, because we didn't get to go on vacation last year because of the pandemic.
Right.
We've been together about a year and 7-8 months, something like that. We really haven't been. We went to some islands somewhere down below Florida. There's some islands
down
there.
The Keys?
No, we went to, do you remember where we went?
I can't remember.
It seemed
the,
really
the
impactful.
Virgin Islands. We went to the Virgin Islands. That's where
it
was.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not good. All that stuff.
So have you picked a destination for your honeymoon yet?
We have. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say where quite yet because mostly.
Well, I'm sure you'll wind up at a beach.
I'm sure we will too. So as a kid, you were a competitive gymnast?
Yeah, so I feel like that's where I honestly really got the self-discipline part about being an artist. You know, at the end of the day, you can be talented, you can be X, Y, and Z, you can be unique, but like the truth is I feel like you just got to outwork everybody, and I feel like I promised myself I would always do that, and I think I got a lot of that from being a gymnast just because it's not a hobby. It's like a 5 days a week, 3.5 hours a day kind of thing, lifestyle. And so when I channeled that energy into the country music genre, at the end of the day, I was like, am I going to the Olympics? No. Like, not going to happen. Oh, how about I just be a female country music artist? Turns out that's just as hard. So I kind of picked the second hardest thing. But I knew that, like, from the beginning that I wanted to do something that impacted people. And with songwriting, I feel like that's kind of the key for me.
What's the tattoo?
This is the day I moved to Nashville.
In Roman numerals.
Yes. Yeah, so honestly, this was like such an important day for me. It was like the day I became an adult. The first time I like chose what was in my pantry. The first time I didn't have to like ask permission to go X, Y, and Z. And sure. So it kind of became a very important day for me. And Nashville is my happy place. So
have you been able to meet any of your heroes while being here?
I have. I've been very lucky to meet so many people that I've looked up to. And you know what's crazy is they say don't meet your heroes, but they don't know the country music genre either, because every person that I've ever met that I've looked up to has truly been the best. And I just feel like, again, like that's why I love country music, is because of that reason right there. It's like just good people, good roots, and good music. And so especially like when I, this past year before the pandemic, I was chosen for this CMA Kickstart program. And I was able to present a show or present an award at the pre-show for the CMA Awards. So I got to meet so many people backstage, and I was just like trying not to fangirl, but like, well, trying to be cool,
right?
You know? And after meeting everyone, I was just like, yep, this is my happy place. This is the home, because everyone's just so genuine.
Who is your Mount Rushmore? It's four people of the coolest people you've met and the coolest people you want to meet. So Ooh. Let's do the ones you've met first.
Okay. Ones I've met. Let's see. Number one would be Dierks Bentley. He is just like the most kindest human and will recite when you last like interacted. Like, he's just so good about that. And especially with like him and his songs, like in his live music and his live show, it just makes me so happy every time I see him. So he's number one. Number two, I would say, is Kit Moore. I went out on tour with him not too long ago, and he just treated me so amazing and like took a chance on me when he could have picked so many other artists to take out with him. And I really owe a lot to him for that. Third would be Walker Hayes, of course. He has been like my big brother since literally a child. And then fourth, I would say, this one's a hard one because I have about seven people that I want to choose, but I would say Reba. I met her backstage when I did the CRS event for Universal last year at the Ryman. I guess it was 2 years ago. And that was the moment I was just like, I blacked out. I don't remember what I said, but all I know is she was amazing. And her being from Oklahoma too, I was just like, yes, this is everything I've ever dreamed of.
So on the other side of it, if you had to pick four you haven't met yet that you want to meet, who would you put up there?
I would say I have not met Miranda Lambert, but I feel like we'd be friends. She just seems so cool and such a like, just like chill chick. And I feel like we'd get along so well. Love her. I feel like, I would just love to pick Taylor Swift's brain on everything. I just have so much respect for her for all the things that she's built at such a young age, and me starting so young. I look up to her so much for that. Shania Twain would definitely be top. She is like one of the people that I've always looked to as far as like, if I could have a career like anyone, it would be like Shania. And then four, I would say, man, this one's hard. Four, I would say, I haven't met him, but I have heard such good things about him, as Garth Brooks. He's also from Oklahoma, and I've never heard anyone say a negative thing about him. And I respect people like that so much who are to that caliber and still remain the same human.
Yeah, you picked four good ones. If you'd have picked one that wasn't that good, I'd have probably winced. I would have not said anything on the mic, but I went like this.
You would have made a face.
Sometimes people are like, I'll just make up a name, Jersey John. People come in and be like, man, I just can't wait to meet Jersey John. And I'm like, in real life, I'm like, oh my God, Jersey John's the biggest douche. You don't want to meet him. Those are good ones. And there is no Jersey John. So anybody named John, that's just something I came up with.
That's not on you.
You just released your EP. What's a release day like for you? What was it like?
Man, I just have so many words for this, because it's been honestly over a decade in the making. I started this journey at 12 and started picturing my debut release forever. And I always joked about, you know, people, little girls would be planning their wedding their whole life, and like I was planning my release and just like what songs I would choose and what order they would be in, and you know, what the subject matter would be. And what was so cool about it is, since I had so long to plan for it, it was like the first time in my life that I just felt so confident in something. As an artist, you always question yourself. Am I doing this right? Is this person going to like it? Will these people like it? And this was the first time that I did something for me that I trusted in and that I knew was a part of the plan. And I felt like it was really the next stepping stone that I've been waiting for so long. And each song I really felt like was a part of my story. And I really feel like other people could relate to as well. And so with debuting the EP, I just like had so much confidence and so much love for the project that I feel like I reciprocated that. And it was just such a magical day.
A lot of interviews with little places, big places, blogs. Is this nonstop?
It's my favorite thing to do. I love to talk to people. First of all, I love to meet new people and being able to just like continue to build the story and continue to like get the word out is just like my favorite thing to do, because at the end of the day, all I want to do is write songs and I want people to connect to those songs and turn to those songs. But if I don't do things like this right here, no one would ever hear those songs. So that's why I'm just like so appreciative of like things like this, is because without these things, people would have never even heard of me. They would just stay in my room on my guitar.
You talk about connecting a lot. Are you yoga? Do you do yoga?
Yes.
Or do you teach yoga?
Both.
Or something? You do?
Yes.
What? How did that come about?
So being a gymnast for 10 years, moving to Nashville, I really just missed the kind of like reason for movement. I was like, why am I just going to the gym to go to the gym? Like, this is really not entertaining to me. And so I went to my first yoga class. Coming from Oklahoma, there was not anything like that there. And so going and moving to Nashville, there were so many new things to try and so many new things to do. So I went to my first yoga class and just fell in love with the whole like idea of that it was like a mind-body connection reason for movement. And me being a type A personality, I dove headfirst and was like, oh, now I want to be a teacher because I just can't do
Classic.
Anything as a hobby, you know?
Same.
Exactly. And so I actually got my teacher certification out in San Diego, spent 2 weeks out there and started teaching, fell in love with it. And now I love like merging the two audiences of like the yoga crowd with the country music crowd, because it's two completely different crowds usually. And so to be able to kind of merge those things together and meet people over here, meet people over there, introduce people together. It's been pretty cool.
Do you teach a class where you play music?
So during quarantine, when none of us could do anything, I decided to do a Namaste at Home series. So I would teach a yoga flow, and then most of the time, some of the time I would sing during Shavasana, which is like where you close your eyes at the end and everyone's perfect time for listening. So I was like, oh, why not play a song? So yeah, that's been my favorite too, to kind of incorporate both together. But during that time, that was kind of the only thing I could do. And so I was really lucky to be able to do that as well. And then I also partnered with, like, for instance, the Ryan Seacrest Corporation, where all the kids over there, I got to teach them a yoga class. And I also got to do some things with St. Jude. And so it's been really cool to kind of like sprinkle that around my country music peeps.
Do you want to teach classes here at all? Would you?
So I'm actually at no time at all. But I'm actually trying to plan a very first festival this fall where I mix a health and wellness festival with a music festival. So I'm working with a company right now. It's very baby stages, but I want to make like a health festival during the day and it transition into a giant music festival at night. So it's pretty much like Wanderlust meets Stagecoach. And so it's going to be like this big festival where I get artists that I love to come play. I also get like people and vendors in town that I've met through my yoga kind of things that I've been doing, and get everybody together and just throw one big party.
Do you have any injuries from when you were a gymnast?
I had a sprained ankle that bothered me for years, and I'll never forget what sucked. I did a split jump on the beam once and landed on my tailbone. And that was the worst pain of my entire life. And the sucky part is you can't fix it with anything. You just have to like be.
Yeah.
So sat on a donut forever and just waited for it to heal. Thankfully was able to kind of rehab that as well as the ankle through yoga. And that's actually how I found yoga. I was really sick for a long time a few years ago. And no one could tell me what was wrong with me. And that's when I really dove into health and wellness, because I was like, well, I'm just going to figure out what's wrong with me myself. So I listened to like every podcast, read every book, went to every yoga class, finally found out I had a parasite, and finally went to a naturopathic doctor, was like better in 2 days. And so that's when I kind of really dove into the health and wellness side.
What was the parasite?
I went to the Dominican Republic and came back and didn't feel great, and everyone thought it was everything else and it wasn't. And so I was on all this medication and like for months was just like so weak, couldn't eat anything, couldn't sleep, had awful
migraines.
They couldn't
find it?
No.
They didn't know that?
I had doctors tell me it didn't exist.
So you had a parasite from the water, from the food, I'm assuming something like that.
Something like that.
And so even when you told them, hey, I went to all these places, mm-hmm. they still were like, nah, you're crazy.
Yeah, they literally told me to go see a psychiatrist.
So then you go to, what kind of doctor say it was?
So I went to multiple doctors.
No, the one that fixed you.
Oh, naturopath.
What is that?
So they use more like from the earth kind of things rather than like, oh, here's a pill, pop it, see what happens.
But they knew you had a parasite?
So I told them all my symptoms, and they were like, yeah, absolutely, I have a parasite. And I was like, I've done so much research, and I know that's what I have. And the doctor I was seeing at the time was like, yeah, those don't exist. It shouldn't be giving you any of these symptoms. It's just in your head. And so she gave me this cleanse that I literally put under my tongue for 3 days, and I was better.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, do you know, they tell you what kind of parasite it was?
They didn't. I mean, they did. I just forgot.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's been a journey.
That is nuts. You're working on a new album. Is this EP going to be part of the album, or is the EP something completely different?
So with the EP and having so long to think about it, the whole idea of Love Kylie is because I feel like each song is from me to the listener. Like it's either a part of my life or someone else's life or a journey, a chapter, something like that that's happened throughout the decade I've been working on this thing. And so with it being Love Kylie, it's like kind of like, this is what I've been working on. This is my gift to you. Like, I hope you relate to this kind of thing. And so my hope is to, whether it's an EP or a full-length album, do a whole new batch of songs. And then I haven't told anyone this, but I want to call it PS. So it's like all the things that I didn't get to say on the Love Kylie album and really go back to like the subject matters that people want to hear about. And that's why I want like, I don't want a whole album of love songs or a whole album of breakup songs. Like I want it to be so versatile. And that way, whether you're a country music fan or not, you have a song on the record.
Here is track 3 of Love Kylie. This is called Outdoor Voices.
And use our outdoor voices. Don't be afraid to
Which one is the single-ish thing?
So my vote has been I Only Date Cowboys because that was the very first time I ever released a song online before I had released it on Spotify or Apple or anything like that and got so much love from it. Every time I posted a video, it would go viral. And I just had so many people being like, when is this out? When is this out? And that was the first time I was like, oh my gosh, like without it, it's just me and my guitar playing this song over and over, posting different videos and getting the same reaction. And so I actually got the idea of wanting a song like that on the album because I went to, I was on radio tour and I went to some random bar and everyone was doing their own thing in their own conversations. And then out of nowhere, a Lizzo song came on. And everyone stopped what they were doing and just together was go, just like screamed, well, I'm great till I gotta be great. And that's immediately when I was like, I want a song like that. Like, I want to be able to stop people in their tracks when they, and all the girls just freak out about it. And so I actually got this text the other day, or it was a message on Instagram. And this guy said, I was at this bar and blah, blah, blah. And your cowboy song came on and all the girls in the bar just freaked out. And I was like, yes, mission accomplished. I did it.
Here's a clip of Break Things. This is track 4. Here is track 5, Cheating on You. And here is the final track, Mad, I Need You. You wrote all these. Looking at the songwriter credits here, you wrote every one of them.
Yeah.
So how important was it to you to write them all?
It was very important to me because I feel like having 10 years to write this record, it's like choosing between your children to figure out what song you want on it. And that's when it came down to actually making it an easier choice of what songs we wanted because I wanted it to be so versatile. So that's why there's only really one sad breakup song, one love song, one like, you know, so that way it was like easier for me to choose between my children. But with me like writing these songs and me being so like open with my life, I want people to like, for instance, Cheating on You is about the negative part of a relationship, about the valley that we will all go through at some point in our relationship. For instance, Jay and I have been together for 6 years. It's not always been sunshine and rainbows. And so that leads into Matt, I Need You, which is like a wall that I had to break down of like realizing that I can also be an independent woman and also need somebody and not feel like it's a burden rather to like rely on someone, but it's actually a good thing. And so it kind of is like just one of those things. It's a story that continues to be told. And that's why I am so excited to release more music, because it's just going to be more layers to peel back.
Well, that's awesome. It's really been great to meet you. You put out the record. It's killing. We're playing it. I'm sure they're going to come with some attack strategy and make you a big star. Yeah, you have everything. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me. This is a bucket list check for sure.
Well, this can be the first half of it. The second half is getting on the big show and performing.
You know, just tapping into the waters.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
I'll jump in.
That's right. You're like ankle deep at the beach. But I don't like the beach. I'll be honest with you.
Ankle deep at the lake then.
Yes, ankle deep at the lake. But no, this has been great. It's been great. And you guys can follow Kylie at Kylie Morgan Music, which apparently you retweet everybody or repost everybody who tags you.
100%.
You tag her, she'll repost it.
I'll repost it.
All right. At Kylie Morgan Music. You guys check out Love Kylie. Kylie, it has been great talking with you.
Thank you so much.